This is Dr. Bill Daigle in hour three of the Nutramedical Report on Vimeo video, Facebook, etc. on Thursday, the 6th of February, 2020. My amazing new guest is Don Trumbull, and his project and website is called the Safe, S-A-F-E, State, S-T-A-T-E, project.com. And we're going to go there in just a second. If you want my help on nutraceuticals, you get the best nutraceuticals in the world, including against the new SARS coronavirus. Let's get right into it. Now, we have his website here, safestateproject.com. And Don Trumbull, tell us about yourself and why you got involved with this. What's the story?
Well, Dr. Bill, it's great to be here. This is a heck of a topic. I began in the EMP defense kind of out of the blue, and it began 10 years ago, well, really 2008. And come from the aviation industry. I owned a special use air carrier. We were a private executive jet charter based along the West Coast. And 2008, we came up with a project. We had to defend and develop procedures that would defend some other special use air carriers from things like EMP, solar flare, things that can take our grids down. And that's when we got into the defense side of it. That's when we started to really go down the rabbit hole of the risk. And it began then, and we thought it would end, but it didn't. We saw America remain undefended. We saw the suppression of the threats. So
Under the Obama administration, when I talked to Dr. Peter Pry, and Glenn Rhodes and a volunteer in Colorado, the Obama administration completely ignored you guys. And under Trump, you guys don't have the Federal Integration Society or organization of the EMP Task Force. Is your organization is separate from the EMP Task Force with Dr. Pry, right?
We are. Yeah. We're completely separate. We're fully aware of what Dr. Pry is doing, and he's doing some amazing things. He's trying to fight that political battle. But yes, the Obama administration wanted to sweep it under the rug, and right. Trump's trying to pull it out, and there's a lot of opposition. So we're working the opposite side from the political spectrum. We're working, we're going straight to the people. We're trying to spread the message about hardening. It's really a failed plan. And
by the way, it's not just, as you mentioned, on the break earlier today before the show, it's not just hardening our power grid, it's protecting your cell phones, it's protecting cybernetic access to your information and commerce, it's protecting our everything, and we're so dependent, and it's not just a danger of a cyber attack, it's a coronal mass ejection from the sun, or a supernova that can wipe out the grid, or a collapse of the power of just one aspect, just even losing our cell phones, or losing, say, our air traffic controllers, and so even if parts of the system are okay, we have multiple layers of problems here, don't we?
We do. It's our Achilles heel, and it's wide open. There's a lot of things that can take it down. And the key to our survival is defending our ability to organize and unite. If we can organize and unite, we can survive together, and we can recover. But that's where we believe the hardening, the plan to harden, fails to address that side of it. And that's the message we're out there trying to scream from the mountaintops.
I have your page up. It says subscribe free to the Safe State Project. And when you sign up, of course, you become part of the solution. And you like the idea of doing local, too, which I recommend to people. Well, if they do local, it means get in touch, even if you've not been into medical or even EMT or whatever, get in touch with your sheriff. If you have a gun, make sure that the sheriff's aware that you're available to be deputized. Take a basic trauma and thoracic cardiac life support course. Have bandages and splints and other things available to be, in a sense, an extension of the EMTs when society breaks down. Be prepared to have multiple layers of food, personal protection, which includes not only guns but non-gun technology, which I discuss on my show separately. I've had on my show, for example, John Moore, and over the last 10, 12 years, we talked about other technologies I've learned as taking care of special forces, including a ball-bearing accelerator weapon, and other technologies which I'm going to post updates to that are both lethal and non-lethal, that are non-gun, that people should have, whether it's crossbows or other technologies. We need to have people to be able to grow food, for example, have greenhouses. Even you can have small hyperbaric chamber in your window that's the size of a PET chamber is clear. And if you put a thousand parts per million of carbon dioxide in there, you can grow food enormously fast, 3 to 5 times faster at 1.3 atmospheres. You need to be ready for the fact you need to have bottled or stored water or be able to purify water if there's a radiation release, say, from nuclear war. And you need to be prepared for the fact that I tell people, don't be in a big city. Don't be downwind of a power line, of a nuclear reactor within 100 miles. Don't be near a fault zone on the West Coast within 25 miles or on the East Coast 125 miles. And if you do communicate to the main city, be prepared for the fact that you need to be able to have places to gather and protect yourself and your neighbors. And you need to start the idea of what I call co-preparedness of your local community and your local people. And you're an expert on that. Tell us what you're recommending people do, because you like to do work on what's called local preparedness. Go ahead.
Yes. Yes, and it's all about a prearranged plan. And, you know, the plan we're promoting is simple. And, you know, coming from the aviation industry, you know, safety is, it's enormous. So we've got to make a flight safe from the time that airplane takes off to the time it comes and lands. And the people, you know, they get off the airplane and they go home. Everything's good. And, you know, a lot of times simple is better. So that's what we're focusing on, is a simplified plan that allows us to unite and organize and prepare. You know, we want to prepare for the worst case scenario, but we hope it never happens. As long as we're prepared for that, we're okay, and we can have hope, and we can live strong, and we can have pride, and it's really the only way to go. So we promote three steps, Bill.
Right.
Number one, everybody needs to preserve the critical equipment we need to survive. Our ability to have private transportation. Now, an EMP can take out our car, so we can't be trapped on our feet. So we need to preserve our transportation.
And by the way, I want to mention a comment here, because our automobiles, since the 1970s late, have chips in them. They can be knocked up by EMP and they can't come back. We also don't realize these have actually controllers that can either accelerate or decelerate a car or literally shut the engine off remotely. And the police and the FBI have access to these technologies to do that, so they can remotely turn your car off or accelerate or decelerate. They can kill you. People don't know that, do they?
Yep. Most don't. No, and that's by design. I mean, most people don't know much.
Every automobile manufacturer, unless you got a pre-1979 car, sometimes a few years later, your car can be taken under cybernetic control by the deep state, can't it?
It can. You know, technology can conquer other technology. And when you become dependent on technology, you're at risk of many things. So, yeah, you know, in the protecting of the transportation is probably the most difficult part of preserving a safe zone for your family and your community. You know, it costs money. I mean, we all drive modern-day cars. You know, and a few of us have the older cars, and the few that are in much better shape.
Well, I talked to Stan Deo, who's developed the technology, and he actually presented them 3 years ago. The military grabbed his EMP surge protectors. He said you can put a Faraday cage around your automobile's chip engine control system, and you can use a surge protector in your automobile, and it'll protect it from EMP. So those are already available from Stan Deo, and I have the link up, but it was taken down. But if you contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, I'll get you through and give you ways of purchasing his EMP surge protectors technology. We also need to consider what we need to do to our power grid. We talked about this with Peter Pry, and he's talking about getting surge protectors, which would be a minimal cost and very minimal effect on our cost of power. But we have 10,000 UHF transformers. None of them are protected. They could be taken out by somebody. See people shooting the step-down transformer things in about a dozen cities, and their whole system would collapse. The other thing is an EMP effect or cyber attack, and the UHF transformers need to have surge protectors on them. I personally think we need to move to a different power system. We don't have above-ground power lines. It should be buried plasma lines. We should also have storage containers like my cousin and niece, Danielle, who developed, she had her PhD in plasma physics by 18, her master's at 13 from Princeton University. and she developed a technique for storing gigawatts of power by underground compressed air storage containers. We need to have a distributed power system that has redundancy. We also have to have other power sources, not wind and we call non-reliable systems, but you can have buried micronuclear reactors, including one of the ones that I proposed for 12 years is what's called a tokamak fusion reactor, which I've talked about on my show for 12 years because I know how to build them. I have a background in nuclear physics, plus I had classified access to information from U.S. Space Command. They simply take moon dust, accelerate it in two plasma jets, you create a plasma field, and you can pull it off with a magnetic bottle to make almost limitless power. We need to have a distributed and redundant power system so that even if parts of the grid go out, it's redundant, almost like a lizard regrows a leg or whatever. We need to have a system that is redundant. We need to have our personal cell phone and our automobiles power protected. We need to have our radio and our TV towers and our satellite systems in the space protected, because one of the first things that our enemies or potential enemies are doing is kill our satellites, to knock out our satellites, to knock out our ability to respond to them in a nuclear war, or even have communications for commerce. So none of these systems have had redundancy in them, and we need a multi-pronged approach, which you have in your charter. It says, number one, prepare, be ready, organize, survive responsibility, and community power. And I know that the EMP Task Force is dealing with some aspects of this. You're much more advanced, and you have a book here called Safe States, and this book is available. How much does it cost?
It's $16.95, and it just got launched, so I recommend people go out there and read it.
And they can get it at Amazon too, right? They can buy it at Amazon.
Yep.
So in fact, I'm gonna hit the Amazon purchase button here, and I'm gonna bring it over there. I would like you to send me a copy, or I'll purchase it on my own. But if you look at the Safe States, you can get the Kindle for $9.99 and the paperback for $15.26. From Fact to Fiction says, our American story is revealed. The vulnerability to EMP divided with no defense. North Korea and Iran are set to take our advantage. Our Achilles heel would remain open. EMP would win the war and mutually assured destruction. I've changed the term here, which I had from some friends of mine recommending. I call this the weapon of indignation. So whether it's communist Russia or their proxies where they've sent EMP weapons to North Korea, Iran, or Venezuela or Nicaragua, they may not necessarily hit our cities or our military bases. They can have a high altitude explosion, and they don't need a very large bomb. I know this from the physics of it. A 3 to 5 kiloton missile sent up from a fishing boat 100,000 feet in the air, 300 miles off either east and west coast, will take out the power grid on both the entire city, country, and North America.
Yeah.
So two missiles of 3 to 5 kiloton EMP weapons exploded, and nobody would know. All they know is all of a sudden their cell phone doesn't work, their TV's turned off, and all the gas station power lines no longer pump gas.
Right.
And I have from three different sources, U.S., Australia, and Canada, that if the power grid goes out, in 6 months, 90% of the population will die of starvation, diarrhea, hypothermia, and violence and cannibalism.
Yes, it's a catastrophic scenario.
Yeah, it would make
it's unimaginable.
Right.
It's truly unimaginable.
It is, and people want to pretend that this couldn't really happen. I'm thinking you're delusional. One of the things that I had a comment from one of my guys that helped to book is that he booked me. He said, "You know what, Bill? Maybe you need to soften your message so you can get it through to people." I said, no. Circumstances are going to change. So Deagle's not going to change, or people like you, Don. It's the world's going to change, so they're going to desire to have the message because they want to survive. I'm not changing.
Yes.
And one of the things I got in my prayer, which I'm sure you're a Christian too, was on the 27th of January, last Monday, I published a report on the SARS coronavirus because I'm a bioweapon expert too. I was trained 48 years ago and did my bacteriology PhD under Dr. Brown on marine bacteriology and oceanography and genetics. And in 1997, I was a point man with the federal government in Operation Top Off in Dark Winter in Colorado on radiological, biological, and chemical terrorism. And we did a simulation on the NOAA supercomputer and two live simulations at the Performing Arts Center in downtown Denver. And I reviewed it again in March of 2001 before 9/11, because they're going to do more simulations with live anthrax and nuclear bombs going off in a large city in the Northeast, which I knew was New York, before it happened, because I was the ex-examiner of the Alfred P. Murrow Building in 1995, and they discovered that I knew the court-martial, the one of the five agents who told me, he was a munitions expert from the Murrow Building from the federal government, and they brought me into the boardroom at St. Francis Hospital and fired me and gave me death threats. Now, I'm not exactly Mr. Passive. So I told the board and Major Swinder, you're going to give me a letter of reference and $50,000 in cash, and I have now friends in Delta Force Special Op. If you try to do anything harmful to me or my family, I'm like alien and predator. I know you're coming, and I'm going to take you all out, and you won't be putting your socks on tomorrow morning. So the next day, I got the letter of reference and the $50,000. And if you don't act fearless, and I learned this in my work with the tank division under military over the last 40 years, if you're not fearless when you go into battle and prepared, you have to be both, you're not going to survive. You have to be fearless and prepared. And that's what people have to realize. I'm not going to damn well change for you people out there. You're going to change. And if you don't wake up to this, you're going to die. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's quite the condition we're living under right now. I mean, there are immense powers out there that are wielding their power to keep this suppressed, to keep people fearful, to keep people's mouths shut.
Let me tell you something.
We've all experienced that. So the reasonable wake up to that. They're ready to fight for what they need to fight for.
Let me tell you the reason why they're doing this, okay? Now, one of the things I've learned over my long life, and I've asked more questions than most people alive 1,000 years, okay? I believe the most important thing in wisdom is asking questions that take you outside of your comfort zone. It's like the old talk about an empty glass can be filled, a full glass, with knowledge or their own paradigms, even if they're cognitively dissonant, can never have any new knowledge put in because it's already full. So I don't mind an emptying my glass and feeling stupid. And one of the things I've learned in my travels, because I had classified access 26 years ago, I was turned into a spook with the same level of security clearance as the president and above. Number one, I took care of the team that goes back and forth to Mars. Our colony has been there since 1982. I learned there was an ancient human population on there for at least 500,000 or more years. We are part of a galactic civilization that had went through an ancient galactic war. Now, what happened is the last major crustal slip of the Earth, which occurred five times in the last 120,000 years, moved the North and South America and the crust of the Earth on the mantle 1,657 miles, so the North Pole that used to rotate through southern Baffin Island moved to Siberia. When it happened, the civilization called the Atlanteans and Mu basically fell. Many of the places went underwater, other places were just destroyed by superquakes. That event is coming. Now, what they've been doing, and I took care of the people doing the drilling. You ever heard of a guy by the name of Phil Schneider?
It sounds familiar.
Phil is the guy who walked around the country and talked to some different conferences about all the strategic strange minerals that didn't look like we came from Earth. And he worked for Bechtel Corporation with the underground sodium-cooled tunneling machine. It would tunnel 120 foot across at a rate of, depending on the material he's cutting through, 7 to 10 miles per day. The favorite place to build these underground cities with what's called DOMs, or deep underground military bases, is dormant magma domes, so when the crust moves on the Earth over thousands or millions of years, that they create domes that are anywhere from 6 to 12 cubic miles in size, or they create what's called a matrix city. His colleague, Phil Schneider's colleague, John Fiala, was my patient. He got particle disease from the sodium-cooled nuclear reactors in the air system inside these tunneling machines, which are very long. They would lay, after they hit the rock face with impact lasers, they would blow the debris on the sidewalls to creating a zero-degree core, and then they would lay a tri-radiate fiber optic track and a MagNav track, and the maglev trains in this vacuum tunnel could travel up to Mach 2.2 all over the world. They discovered also ancient tunnels going back in New Mexico and into Baja California that they did aging of the rocks that were 300,000 to 500,000 years old of the same technology we have today. People don't, when you ask me questions, I know almost everything you can imagine about classified projects, and I have people after my show for now decades that have contacted me inside the intel agencies beside my own personal knowledge, which is pretty considerable. The reason why the globalists are not doing this is they have what's called the Willy Wonka chocolate factory ticket for their underground base. because they know the thing that's going to trigger this event off is the coronal mass ejection from the sun, like the Carrington event, or the explosion of a supernova that'll cause a crustal slip. And they could give a rat's behind what happens to the people on the surface. So they're not fixing infrastructure, hardening the power grid, or doing anything. And that's, in fact, part of the reason why they're releasing super viruses like the SARS corona to kill off the population, because they think, in their twisted mind, it's a form of mercy to have us die quickly of viruses and a cataclysm on the Earth from a crustal slip. So these maniacs, when they do this, and by the way, the military have been told, and I have this from FEMA because I work with FEMA, that they've been told if there's a major cataclysmic disaster like a nuclear war or an EMP blackout, their whole idea is the military go to their military bases and guard themselves, or go underground at their underground facilities and don't come out to help the public for 6 months until most people are dead. And my documents I have from Australia, Canada, and the United States are, in 6 months, 90% of the population in all three countries would be dead if there's no plagues, no invasions, nothing else happened, not even major weather changes. There would be 90% of the population of all these countries would be dead in 6 months. Only the preppers would survive if they're in a proper geolocation. They're not downwind of a nuclear reactor near a fault zone or on the coast. The coast will be hit with super tsunamis. The fault line zones or buildings will completely be destroyed because frequency harmonics in the earthquake, if there's similar harmonics in the building's torn apart by giant waves. Nikola Tesla discovered this 100 years ago in lower Manhattan. He created what's called a giant wave generator he could put in his pocket. If you attach it to a girder of a building, you could generate giant waves and tear the building to pieces in a matter of minutes. That's why back 200 plus years ago in Edinburgh, Scotland, discovered you have to walk over a bridge out of step an army, otherwise in step will create giant waves that will tear the rivets of the bridge apart. So reason why they're doing this is the globalists don't give a crap, and they're purposely blocking us and doing things like stopping the proliferation of biosafety for labs and protecting the power grid, or even food safety and security. And they're doing this to actually dumb down and sterilize the population. So all the globalists, including the Duke of Edinburgh, wants to come back as a lethal virus to kill us all. Or people like Bill Gates, who did a video last year on the SARS coronavirus and estimated the video 65 million dead and actually owns vaccine companies. These people are global, what I call omniciders. They want to kill everything.
Yeah.
And the reason why they're not preparing it.
What you're describing is the battle between good and evil.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of the stuff you just mentioned, these are incredible scenarios, and they're very plausible. A wise American and a reasonable American, we have to look at these things and first understand that humans are very smart. But, the condition we live under today is the condition that attempts to suppress information, create false perceptions, and the goal is to have everybody dwell on the superficial and not think about these
things. Well, that's why they want to talk about the Super Bowl or a halftime show or shows like the Masked Singer and all this foolishness. Let me explain what I use a little different psychology, because I was trained as a medical doctor in psychiatry too. I call it, they're not stupid. I don't believe in the word stupid. Even if somebody has a lower IQ, like their Down syndrome or some other disorder, it's the size of the concepts they can bring across their sensor band to create a super concept. And I've actually, by this weekend, I'm going to put up some brain exercises. If you do my brain exercise without any equipment, you just watch the video and learn how to do the exercises, you raise your IQ within minutes, because you learn. And I'm setting up a thing called a decision tree of what's called a curiosity index. See, the IQ test is designed to see how much you'll participate, just like the test maker or your professor, to absorb their intellectual or their blather and reproduce it. So I call it Maggot University. And in Maggot University, the defecation of the professors or your pastor tells you what to believe. If you eat it intellectually and you defecate and it smells, tastes, and looks like the defecation of your professor, whether you're a pastor or a sports writer, whatever, you pass. Now, the real sign of wisdom is you're willing to ask questions. That's why God is the altar of all wisdom. That's why God doesn't negotiate with good and evil. It's either his way or the highway. The issue is, how high is your curiosity index? Which means, are you willing to ask questions that take you out of your comfort zone and show you that you don't really understand things? So one of the differences about the way my brain is set up is I was so curious, even as a little boy, that I couldn't accept anything that was cognitive dissonant with something I already knew. So I remember in grade one, my teacher, Sister Marie Blackie, said to me in grade one, a story that we were, and this is Catholic school, that we were little angels and we came down, take bodies, and came to live on earth. And I put my hand up, Billy Deagle in the back of the class, and I'm in grade one now, remember? I said, Sister Marie Blackie, what you said to the class is a figment of your very productive imagination, and you were full of rope. What do you mean, rope, Billy? I said, well, you go to the toilet number two, it looks like rope. She said, out in the hall, Billy. So she strapped me until my wrists were ready to bleed, and she said, enough? I said, I don't know, are you tired yet? Now, fast forward from that year, which is basically, remember now, I'm like in, you know, a little kid, and it was, you know, in grade one. Now I'm in fourth year medical school, and she's now coming into the Halifax Infirmary Hospital in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and I'm a fourth year medical student, and she comes into the emergency department. I poke on her abdomen, it's hot as fire. She's got peritonitis, and she now had quit the nunnery, had five kids, and had a form of left-sided diverticular peritonitis. So I said, we need to do emergency surgery on you. You're going to die. So me and the surgeon actually removed a big section of her bowel, and after in recovery room, she's back in her hospital bed in her room. She's doing fine. She said, I remember you, Billy Deagle. I've never met anybody like you. We tried to break you. We couldn't break you. She says, I remember you especially when I saw the movie about Damien Thorne, the Antichrist. I said, I knew you were going to do something special. I said, I'm not evil. I'm not the Antichrist. But no adult's ever going to break me. Now, the real symptom is this, and what you're trying to do in your ministry and mine, is you want people to get beyond we call cognitive dissonance. I'm not here to entertain people. I'm not here to educate people. I'm here to shockucate them. I'm here to shockucate them, put two paddles of truth on either side of their temples. People are not stupid. They're viciously ignorant. They growl. They do whatever they can to hurt me financially or otherwise, or my relatives, friends, and colleagues. Or they bare their teeth and see what they can do to scare me into shutting up. Now, the way I was born, or I said I wasn't really born because I had a DOA day 68 years ago. I wasn't born, I was spawned. Okay? And my approach to it is, you have to tell people the truth, whether they like it or not. Even if they wince, they have to know you have compassion for them. Because when you're telling them that your local authorities and your government do not protect you and don't give a damn and are not competent, it's scary. It's scary to hear your local doctor is an idiot, or your local police department is not prepared to deal with disasters, or the power grid is not protected, or your cell phone company is not protected, or your automobile can be knocked out by an EMP, and you can be on the freeway with tens of thousands of other vehicles. Like, there's a guy from Eastern Russia. He was in the Russian Navy in the Black Sea. I'm trying to remember his name now. He was with the Prophecy Club back 20-some years ago. And he did a prophecy, and he talked about seeing visions of what was going to happen in the future. EMP knocking out all the cars, freeways in the United States. We came to the U.S., and he had a ministry across, what's his name? It's almost on the tip of my tongue. It may come to me. And those visions are ones that haunt me for years, as seeing people stuck on the freeway with an EMP surge and nobody's going anywhere. You used to hear horns blasting and all of a sudden it's silence and screaming. Or people in their home, there's no warm water. And now people don't realize this. If the power companies have backup power for pumping water, you know, all of them do, right? Emergency power. None of them have backup power for sewage. So by the fourth day, they have to cut the water back or your sewage will back up in your home unless you're on a septic field. Do you know that?
Yes, I've heard that.
Yeah, now what happens, what this means is they have to cut the water down up to 90%, so all of a sudden you don't have enough water to shower, to flush your toilets, or to even probably eventually cook food. And if you don't have bottled water, you're going to get diarrhea if you can get inferior water. And if you don't have enough water, you can't even wash your clothes. And what people don't understand is nobody's ever thought this through. Now, I work purposely with FEMA, the CDC and FBI director, and I have the kind of brain, you know, when they tested me back in grade 9, my IQ was so far above 200 they couldn't measure it. And it's not because I'm a wonderful person, because I'm not. I have the personality characteristics of a pet rock. I have the social IQ of a less than a moron, okay? Because I don't shut up. I talk over my guests. I get technical, and I act like I know everything, which I pretty well do, actually. And what I don't know, I will pray on it, and I will ask God. I say, God, I'm empty. I know nothing. God says, you know what? Because you came to me, I'll show you what books to go to, what internet, and I will tell you dreams and visions and tell you the truth. Because I'm emptying myself out, and I'm telling people, they better damn well listen to you and your ministry, because this could happen with a CME from the sun tomorrow. It could be the destruction with the gravity waves from Betelgeuse. It could be a hack by somebody in a bedroom in Russia, China, or North Korea, or Iran, that can hack into our power grid or air traffic controllers. And nobody is prepared. And the reason why they're not prepared is because a lot of the globalists and the billionaires and the demonically level people in these high-level masons already have their Willy Wonka chocolate factory tickets to have caviar, video games, and stored food in underground dumps that they're preparing with illegal money from the drug trade run by SAD, Special Activities Division, the CIA, the organ trade, which they tried to recruit me in 87 when I worked in the trauma burn unit in Georgia, and they wanted me to work with Emory University and organs coming in from all over the place, including Laodai camps in China. First thing they do in China, they tissue type you. If your tissue type comes up for a European wanting your liver or kidneys, bye-bye liver and kidneys. They kill you with a bullet in the back of your head by an airport runway, whip your organs out and put them in an air transport, and they fly them to whatever hospital overseas, whether it's Canada or America, to transplant those organs. If you think I'm delusional, you're a friggin' idiot and you're going to die hard, like the movie Die Hard.
Right.
Now, I was recruited firsthand. I don't know the secondhand. I know it firsthand, and I'm angry as hell when people, as they say, like my God told me last Monday, the 27th, your days of being Rodney Dangerfield getting no respect is over, Deagle. And today when I talked to McLaughlin, he said, you know, you should soften your message so people want to understand you. I said, no, I'm not. I'm going to harden my message. I want, the world is going to change because the desperation of the SARS epidemic, the danger of nuclear war. Right now we're on the edge where Israel's threatening to hit the Bashar reactor. You know that? They announced that in the last few weeks. Iran's saying in their desperation of their financial situation, they're going to enrich uranium to make nuclear missiles. They have missiles that can touch anywhere in Europe or anywhere in the Middle East. And soon they'll have missiles that can even hit America. And some of the best hackers in the world are Iranians, other than the Russians and the Chinese. They have a 250,000 Chinese Tianjin Blue Army hackers just in China, in Shanghai alone, that can hack into our power grid or our cybernetic communications for commerce or air traffic controllers or our treatment plants. People are not aware of this stuff.
Yeah.
And they're floating along day by day, going to work, going home, trying to prepare meals, and they're not aware of it, and they think, well, Deagle, you're nuts. No, you need to shut up, people out there trying to tell me to shut up, and you need to damn well listen, right?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, everything you're describing,
I call it shockugation.
It's a tactic of evil, and it's been here since day one. I mean, the primary tactic that evil does is it tries to suppress our instincts. And it tries to distract us, and it tries to put us into a box.
It's not that people don't know there's something wrong. If you actually do what I call multi-level questions for people, I'd say a majority, let's say 50-some percent of people know that that the destruction of the World Trade Center towers doesn't make common sense, that the buildings would fall like free fall of steel buildings. If you ask them simple questions about, does our government protect us against people coming in, say, with coronavirus? Do you know the WHO have been saying, and the CDC, to Americans not to shut down flights in from China? Do you know they said that yesterday?
I didn't.
Yeah. Is that scary stupidity or what? Now, the WHO, when I traveled in 19...
It's all very scary.
When I traveled to the WHO headquarters, when I was overseeing them, and I have people on my show regularly from that are in the World Health Organization meetings in Basel, Switzerland, every couple months, I have them on my show. I traveled to Zurich, Switzerland in 97, and after I did my talk on fetal tissue transplantation, they gave me a box of documents, including what I already knew about the development of bioweapons, including the AIDS virus, the vaccine against pregnancy and the trophoblast, and the development of the of Ebola, etc. And they gave me a box of these freaking documents that I brought back with me to America years ago. This is 97. Now, you got to understand, the WHO was sued for creating a vaccine to sterilize women in the Philippines, 77,000 women in Soweto, South Africa, and the Kenyan Doctors Association, Catholic Doctors Association, founded 4 years ago, The same damn thing was being done with the tetanus vaccine was being contaminated purposely to sterilize women by creating anti-trophoblast antibodies. So first-stage pregnancy would abort spontaneously. Now, if you don't think these global organizations like the United Nations, the WHO, the CDC, and the global organizations like the Trilateral Commission and the PNAC, Project for New American Century, are out to kill you, you're not paying attention. Even the creation of communist China and Russia were creations of the West. Karl Marx was a Brit. People don't understand the British MI5 and MI6 with the Jesuits and our help. I took care of Highlander Division Canadians who marched in and took over St. Petersburg and held it before their guns arrived from Virginia in 1917. I'm old enough, I took care of people that did that. And we held the place until the Bolsheviks could then start killing off the religious Russian Orthodox and the religious Jews who believe in the Old Testament Jews, so they could set up a communist state with former now atheistic Jews and other non-Jews to create a communism. You don't know this. They don't realize we are in the grip of such great evil, and Satan has come here to be an abortionist of the human race. So EMP is just one of the aspects of it, isn't it?
It is. It's a fantastic tool, the recipe to destroy freedom and subject mankind to oppression is here. I mean, you've got radical nations with radical motives, you've got the EMP weapon, and then on top of it all, you've got the leaders of freedom, America, completely open to utter destruction.
Well,
no open intent to defend itself. So it's quite the problem.
Well, America has a duality of character.
You know, I think the goal, Bill, I was just going to say the goal is because there's so much evil in the world, we see it in every aspect of our lives. The goal is to, you know, we've got to overcome that. And talked about some technical solutions, which are great.
Well,
the underground power lines and all of that.
Yeah, let me fill in some detail I want to say to you, and I'll get your response to this. 2 months before I got in and went to medical school in 1973, I was because I had my PhD at 21 in bacteriology and genetics, I was tapped up by the dean of medicine and joined a medical fraternity called Phi Rho Sigma. Because I knew senior people in the association, I learned about ancient medical knowledge and went back all the way to Atlantis. Did you know that? People don't understand the real world is run by high-level masons who do most of the good works in the world and all the evil. And the problem here in America is where you have duality. We're not only the daughter of Zion, meaning to bring God's will on earth. There's more Christians here than you can shake a stick at, but a lot of them are into what's called apostate pseudo-Christianity or believe things that are actually suicidally stupid. Even though they're well-intentioned people, otherwise they're ignorant. And the other side of it is high-level masons are doing both a lot of the good works and the evil works. And we're deceived by that because we assume, and remember, this is Luciferianism, Satan himself, not only is transformed, he is an angel of light, and most of the good works on earth are done through luciferic power of high-level masons. In every religion, in every political system, in every legal system on earth run by high-level secret orders, who do both good and evil to control the outcomes, to bring order out of the chaos. And that's why when we're so confused, we don't understand, as you get higher and higher levels in these secret orders, they're more and more both evil and good, and they do both. And people are deceived by that. They don't understand it, right?
Right. Well, here's a question for you, Bill, you know, because you're describing a conundrum. I mean, we've got a large group of people who are under the thumb of evil, under the control, and under the spell of evil. And then you've got a large group of people who, like us, are aware, who are wise, and who are assessing all sides and trying to make heads or tails out of it. How do we overcome our position?
Okay, I learned this the hard way, and God taught me, but it was not an easy lesson. It took me years and many conflicts for me to get this. We do not overcome, he does. Okay, and I'll give you an example. On Monday at 3:30, last Monday, I was told to get up, and I prepared this video presentation I did in PowerPoint about the SARS coronavirus, because I'm a bioweapon expert. God told me last weekend to release information that I had received 60 years ago when I nearly died and went to heaven because I had an artery cut in my throat with a tonsillectomy by a guillotine. And I released that information without getting into details because I did an earlier show today in the last few days. People need to understand, it's not us that's going to change. It's not you that's going to change your ministry. It's the people who are going to change. They're going to be receptive. Well, also technology. I'm sitting here at my computer. You're on my phone. Your audio is going out over live stream, Vimeo, YouTube, and Facebook worldwide in high-definition audio and video instantly worldwide. So by satellite and everything. So people have to understand, we now have technology to literally have the truth rain down from heaven. And I don't know how long it's going to last because, you see, when the tyranny rises, they already are hiring, as of December, United Nations are hiring people to start grabbing people and putting them in civil detention and seizing American guns. Do you know that? The United Nations are already recruiting for that as of December.
In open newspapers. That stuff wouldn't surprise me.
And in open newspapers. Open newspapers. This is not Deagle saying, I'm delusional, this is what I think of in my crazy mind. No. This is open, okay?
We hear them talking about it all day. So, of course, it's even if they're not saying it, that is...
No,
that
they're
is
saying it now.
Ultimate.
The reason why they're saying it now is because the people are so dumbed down. When they look at people like me, like the amount of persecution I've had, even though I'm a truth teller, like, people don't have to understand, you know, I do not have a cape and I can't fly at the speed of light. And you notice that I'm a little bit aggravating, right? Because I am. I talk a lot and I try to control the conversation. Right? And I get criticized. Right, but you got to understand, I'm working with you because we see the problem as X level, but it's a lot worse. For example, EMP is just another symptom that the fact you're not getting progress is because the other people don't give a rat's behind what happens to you and the people on the surface, because they got their Willy Wonka underground, deep underground military base, chocolate factory ticket of all hell breaks loose.
Sure.
They don't care about a super plague.
How do we overcome that force?
Very easy.
How do we overcome that? If EMP and our Achilles heel is the one way to rip...
I'll tell you,
how do we organize the people to overcome this power? Because there are ways.
I know how to do it. Let me explain to you something. I took care of the guys that actually working for Bechtel Corporation who are doing the tunneling. Now, when you build these tunnels near the surface, lower-level earthquakes will shatter them. But deeper down, like a mile or so, they don't get shattered because you have to have a really large earthquake to shatter these, basically, these special zero-degree tunnels. The tunneling devices are big. They're like 120-foot rock face across or more. And they can tunnel at 7 to 10 miles per day. But they're nuclear-powered, right? And you have to have a source of oxygen in order to be able to survive the damn things. And you get that oxygen if you're using, say, ringwoodite rock, which is down at 410 to 660 kilometers, but it's available in the inner oceanic cleft, which I'm going to get Dr. Jacobson on my show from Northwestern University to talk about it, and the deep underground water supplies around the planet. What people don't understand is that these globalists don't understand, just like your automobile hit by an EMP, EMP goes through the early part of the crust of the Earth very nicely. So these tunneling machines, electronics, will be completely fried, and they're not going to be able to tunnel. They'll be like the Morlocks, deep locked in under the Earth for thousands, tens of thousands of years, unable to leave their underground layers. Remember the Eloi on the surface and the Morlocks down deep in the novel and the movie The Time Machine?
Right.
Right. What we're facing here is that these bastards will be locked down and their permanent grave will be underground in these cities. And they may survive there, or their remnants, and they'll look like monsters because they won't be exposed to the levels of ordinary light. But what we're facing is a bifurcation of society to the sheep and the goats. The goats will be underground, the sheep will be on the surface surviving. So it's a matter of convincing people, do you really want, if you're claustrophobic, do you really want to be locked underground? They did a study psychologically, and they did a study in basically even after in Germany, and they have some of these underground bases they built back in the Second World War for the Nazis. And they discovered, even if they were laid out in their beautiful palatial places, within 1 month, up to 68% of people locked in these facilities want to commit suicide.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, if you want to really love that, you want to really kill yourself, be locked into one of these, even if you have plenty of food and caviar and video games to play, and you can play pool or whatever. But if you know you're locked
on... No life, is it?
No, and not only no life, if you know that your machine's dead and you can't ever tunnel your way out and you're already locked down there for whatever days you got left in your life, even if you got nuclear power and oxygen sources, wherever you are is where you're going to be until you die. In other words, you're living in your coffin.
Right. Well, how about this, Dr. Bill? You know, okay, let's stick with the EMP weapon. Let's stick with the ability to strip our technology away. And, you know, we've got all the Americans from coast to coast that can suffer and starve. 90% of us can die.
Right.
The globalists are, they've created this condition. They're pulling the strings. They're keeping us from defending ourselves. Is there another way that the people, the wise people, now, you know, we're talking about it here. There's two groups. There's the brainwashed, and there's the reasonable people who are looking at this and who have been able to observe over time. And we've come a long way over these last decade, let's say, to where we've always suspected, you know, all this stuff is going on. But the mainstream awareness now has become observable. We're observing all sorts of lies and deceit and all of that.
Okay,
it's not a stretch for us to agree that evil's trying to take us down.
Let me explain the way, okay? What people don't understand as human beings is that we are tripartite. We are made in the model of the creator of the universe. We have a physical body that lives in entropy and have time-space. Time needs entropy to occur. We have a spirit that's connected to the core of living waters through our pineal glands through magnetite that's created by the explosion of supernovae. The iron and the magnetite that connects the core of living waters to our soul, okay? And our soul exists in what's called hyperspace, which means it's beyond time and space in the realm of the spirit or consciousness. That's the realm, by the way, that Satan now presides over, is the realm of consciousness. And the third realm is eternal. Every living human being and every living thing and even every thing created by God has a seed atom of the eternality in it. So there's a portion of eternity in every one of us. Eternity means there's no past or future, and you have basically almost like a little tiny fraction of God. In fact, it's our destiny when we become a galactic civilization to become the bride of the Most High, to become the queen of the heavens. Okay, without getting into all the details. Now, questions do not come out of the mind. Questions come from the soul. Now, have you ever heard of reverse speech?
Reverse speech?
Right.
No, explain.
Well, I have experts from on my show from Australia that are experts on reverse speech. And if you're a corporate meeting and you do a reverse speech, you can tell what the other people are actually saying because their intentions of their heart are always true, whether they're good or bad. And you can do a reverse speech and actually pull out and extract phrases that explain what they're actually saying. When you cross into the physical realm to the spirit realm, the reverse speech is like everything's reversed audibly and positionally, so reverse speech is always the truth. So, for example, when Barack Obama traveled around and said, yes, we can, yes, we can, if you actually reverse speech it said, thank you, Satan. Okay? Now, what happens is every time you're speaking, the most powerful thing we can do is well prayer. Because prayer and questions come from the soul. They don't come from the mind. That's what makes us different than computers. Questions come from the soul. They do not come from the physical mind stuck in time-space. Did you know that?
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
Now, the reason why that's important is because the questions in a little child are about 2,000 times more questions per minute or hour because of the fraction of their life than adults, so they learn faster. Now, a person who has a high what's called curiosity index, they can't deal with cognitive dissonance. And society tenderizes people to live with cognitive dissonance. It means ideas are in conflict, whether they're religious ideas about accepting this scripture versus that scripture, or this political idea versus that political idea, or this scientific principle versus that scientific principle. And if you live with cognitive dissonance, you live in a world of disinformation and you're vulnerable. And so what I'm trying to say is, when we're praying, and the reason why you're seeing more and more obvious, the mask is off. For example, when I saw the State of the Union address, I saw Nancy Pelosi, who I know from my own contacts. She's involved with child sacrifice, and she's a witch. Did you know that?
I should probably keep my mouth shut, but nothing would surprise me.
Okay, now let me explain why that's important to understand that, because she tore apart the speech for Donald Trump because she didn't like it, and she said all of this crazy stuff she's talking. You got to understand, these people are people that God told me their name is. They are people of what's called clay and iron. Clay is human flesh. Iron are being basically possessed or oppressed by transdimensional demonic entities. Otherwise, like Jesus when he crossed the Sea of the Galilee to cast out the demons from the demoniac of the Gadareans, and they went into the pigs. People need to realize our modern leaders are physically and spiritually possessed. They're being avatared by transdimensional entities, okay? They're not rational, normal human beings. When you see these behavior, there are brothers and sisters that are basically being avatared. They're people of what's called clay and iron. That's why my ministry and my other website is called Clay and Iron. God told me this almost 30 years ago before I even understood it several years later. And the reason is, if you don't understand that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, stopping you with your EMP, you're fresh and wrestling against human beings that are being avatared by transdimensional and transgalactic beings that are trying to destroy and abort the entire human race. Well, look at the Democrats.
It's a battle of good and evil. Well, it's for eons.
Right, it's been good, but I'm crystallizing it much more characteristically. We're ruled by those that are minions of Satan. Look at Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, who abuses his gay lover, black gay lover. Look at Nadler, who's just plain vicious about Trump because of something that went back about a golf thing years ago. And I'm not saying Trump is perfect. He's doing a lot of good things, but the thing is, there are people around him are devils, like this guy Bolton, who's going to come and give you evidence. Now he's saying he's not going to give evidence, even if the Democrats want to actually come to now the Congress and give more information out, even after the impeachment thing is over. So you got to understand here, we're and that's the reason why you're having such great difficulty, but that's over now. This week, now that you're on my show, I will. And one of the things God's told me is those who hear and believe before the time of the end, they're called with a prophetic anointing and an apostolic anointing to give geopolitical, technical, and spiritual manna to save humanity from destruction. And that's what you're doing. You may not believe this in your ministry, but you have an apostolic and prophetic anointing, because if you don't get the truth to the people, people are going to first die of starvation and violence when the dogs bark and the fourth day and all the food's rotten. And they're going to tell their wife, take that gun and go next to the neighbor because I think they still have the lights on. They have food because they're a prepper. And try to steal their goods because we're starving to death here. We never prepped.
Right. Well, all of us who are trying to break this wall are driven by a passion, and that passion is inspired and guided by God.
Right.
But I have a greater question for you, a greater question, because we're really kind of, when we're talking about some very... it's convoluted and it's deep and it's there's so much to it.
Exactly, there's a simplicity to it too.
Let's just try one a little simpler question.
Right.
Given America today, let's say it's 2020.
Right.
Today, what if we were to have a miracle of awareness where the message that says, "Hey, listen, folks." You folks that can hear this message, because, you know, many can't. So the folks that can hear it, what if we were to defend ourselves from our core vulnerability, EMP, the loss of our infrastructures, our Achilles heel? What if we were to bypass the federal government, fill the gap that our government can't fill right now because it's at war with itself? It's
right.
Filled with good and evil.
Oh, yeah, it's in such opposition.
What would happen? And here's the question, Bill. What would happen if suddenly our communities and many of our states defended their local populace so that they could survive?
Well, absolutely. I get your point. That's
like
right.
EMP? What would it do? What would it do to the globalist plan? Would it defeat them? Would it?
Oh, of course it would.
Go outside of their playbook in a way lead to their destruction.
Well, you have to understand, the Bible is like a giant equation in God's mind. And he's so clever, he put questions in the New Testament and answers in the Old. And one of the things, my favorite scriptures in the Bible, because my favorite book is the book of Job, where God teaches you his ways are higher than our ways. And my favorite scripture in the Bible is 2 Peter 2:10. It says, no scripture is of private interpretation. In other words, the Bible is like a giant equation. You can't take part of the modifiers of the equation out and throw it over your shoulder because you don't like a scripture. Now, what you're expecting is it's just information, but one of the things I'm working on is a thing called a prayer wheel. And you have to understand, the most powerful thing we can do, and what you can do, and all people listening, is to pray. Because prayer opens people's eyes. And the first thing they're going to do is see a state of truth and horror. And then they're going to start acting in prayer from that action, which means they may start prepping, getting a little food, putting a little garden in, figuring out that they better get EMP protection, getting self-protection, or telling their neighbors they want to collaborate and get some, you know, work together. Go to the sheriff's office and sign up and get a basic trauma cardiac life support course and bandages and splints and people get fractures and so on because no EMT is going to be around. What people need to understand is this is not dependent on a message. And this is something I learned years ago. It was hard for me to do this because I like to be an educator. I was teaching for years medical students, residents, and doctors. But I've learned the important thing is not intellectual words to the left and right brain. It's what's called spirit words that speak to their soul. And it starts with questions you raise first and prayer, because prayer speaks to the soul of others. When you pray and you're giving information, people's minds can then receive the technical information and so on, because the prayers open up their soul to accept it. Because without prayer, our people aren't going to accept it. They're going to think you're just nuts, or you're trying to get money from them, or you want to control them. Right?
Right.
You need to realize you're not here just to sell books. You're not a bookseller here. You're trying to save their hide, save our nation, and save people not only from physical destruction, but eternal separation from God and annihilation in the lake of fire.
Yep. Yes.
Now, people don't get that. They need to realize we're about to transition to become a galactic civilization. When Donald Trump announced over Christmas the Space Force, and I've been taking care of people in the Space Force for 26 years, the symbology and the actual symbology of the Starfleet Command is identical to Donald Trump's Space Force. Did you know that?
No.
The actual, if you actually see the logo, it looks exactly like Star Trek's Starfleet Command. Exactly.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Now,
I've heard that, yeah.
What you got to understand here, this is prophetic. The series, miniseries Star Trek, written by Roddenberry, was a prophecy of mankind, but we're not just going to go out badly to no matter where places have gone before. We're going to go out there representing God and a unified humanity that has a single purpose and cares about each other, whether you're a little baby in utero that's going to be aborted in 2 hours, or a senior citizen that's about to get a lethal injection, or a middle-aged person that otherwise could get AIDS or die of SARS coronavirus, or is getting toxically affected by 5G or starving because they've been a drug addict and are outside and dying of hypothermia. When we become empaths and realize we're both an I and a we will no longer let our brothers and sisters in other nations suffer like China. We are no longer, when we travel to the galaxy and other continents and other worlds, to see humane and humanoid and non-humanoid beings, to realize that as we travel across the universe, other sentient beings have heard from the voice of the Most High God. We're going to start to realize that we are not alone in the universe, and we are not alone. We are both an I and a we. And until we start having compassion for each other, compassion for our world, and spirit words to open up our heart, we're never going to open up our minds to the truth. The truth will...
That's the problem. I agree with wholeheartedly.
You have to open up your... Your heart has to be open so you can receive the truth, or the mind will never accept it.
That's correct. And that's our intention. You know, we've got several tools in our bag of tricks to try and break through this wall. And the Faith States novel is an attempt to resonate in everyone's mind, even the minds that are closed, is to try and open that up.
You know, it's
the truth
when you first
and the horror, like you mentioned.
Right.
And once they see the truth and the horror, they need to pray. They need to pray for guidance. They need to pray for answers.
You know what?
That's what the purpose of the novel is.
You know, we had an accident when we first started, and they were saying it over and over again, and I wasn't getting it. And when I got it at first, I thought it was faith, F-A-I-T-H, state model, right? Faith state, right, project. And I think
right.
you should
right.
actually...
Right.
I think you should actually... coined that term in parallel to your safe state state project. You should have faith state, because without faith, it says, without faith you cannot have worship, and without worship you cannot have grace, and without grace you cannot have a pathway to salvation.
Yes, I agree. And faith is what can bring us all together, you know. And that's our goal, is to.
That's why you should almost have
a. And it's a roadmap, and And we, you know, it's one of those roadmaps. We can't just plug in a new way to do things and suddenly be saved. It's a path.
You should
have to walk it together, and we have to have faith in each other.
Right.
So the state project is built on faith.
But you know what I want? I would recommend you
donate.
But you know, I want you to have people donate prayers. I want you to have people donate prayers to a parallel faith state project. And when they donate prayers, you should have it so that they can play those prayers that speak the intention fields of the spirit words to their soul, so then their heart is open, they'll buy your books and actually do something. Because what I find is, until their heart is open, their hands don't move and their mind is not open to the truth.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to do.
Before we finish today is, I got this word because I made the mistake three times when I heard your words. I think I was hearing God say in my mind, faith state project, not safe. And I think you guys need to take that word, because my problem is with people is we don't have people that are stupid or ignorant or whatever. They have no curiosity because their mind is blinded. Their astral or spirit eyes are closed. Their ears are dumbed up and they got their fingers in them. They don't hear with spirit words, so their intellect can't accept things that are obvious to even a rational person who has God living in them, how dangerous things are. And until you have faith,
yes,
you can't have wisdom.
That is correct. I agree with that as well. And you know, one final thing I want to say, and it's because I was asking you these questions on, you know, how do we overcome this this globalist push to oppress us? We believe that if we go to our core instincts, and if we can do all the things that we're talking about, if we can have faith in each other, if we can unite,
right,
and if we have a roadmap that we can walk for the right reason, and that's our basic survival, our our core instincts. That's what Safe State Project is. And
well, you know, you should have almost something like
go there and learn about it, because it really can be the grand solution that dislodges the equation we're in right now, and it puts the power back into the people.
Right.
And when the people have their true power, everything changes.
One thing we should do.
Political wrangling is not going to happen from the top down.
You don't want to wrangle. Here's why I want to make this statement. What you have is you'd almost have something like, you know, the 12-step project for alcoholics. I call it the 12-step project. This 12-step project for listen to this. The 12-step project for infoholics. Do you like that?
I like it.
And if you had that along with prayers, there's 12 steps to try to get you to stop being an infoholic. People are absorbing garbage information, gargigo, and they're acting on it, which is bringing us to a state of personal, family, societally, and earth suicide. So we need this 12-step project for infoholics on your faith state project. Infoholics, do you like that?
I like it, Bill.
Yeah.
I like it.
And you see, if you do that, your ministry will dramatically expand. You see, you want to convince people with a good argument? You can have all the arguments in the world until their soul and their mind, their soul is open to hear the truth and ask better questions. Everything you say will resound off them like bullets off a bulletproof glass. It's not going to do a damn thing.
Yes. Yeah.
And they'll look at you, and in fact, they may growl at you saying, stop asking questions or raising issues. It's not socially appropriate. You're upsetting us.
What's happened. That's what we're dealing with, you know, and it's really the younger generation is
the younger generation have been they've been dumbed down to the point where the young people are stupider than us, more numbed, and they're greater infoholics than we ever were.
Yeah, well, we had the ability to experience different things. We had the ability to experience an upbringing and an education that encouraged thinking outside of the box, looking at both sides of the coin, making our own conclusions. That's how we grew up. The younger people are growing up.
Well, Antifa, look at the universities, and I have contacts that I have on my show all the time.
Yes.
They tell you that you can go, if you disagree, for example, there's a recent statement here about pro-lifers in one of the universities where there was a judgment against the university for suppressing pro-life students on the university campus but they support LGBT and all the other weird stuff. And the fact is, if you're all the professors now are basically atheistic social communists.
Yes.
And these people are brainless automatons.
And they protect themselves.
And they protect each other, and they get massive wages. And the federal government gives them tons of money, so they've got billions of dollars in the bank. And they raise the student fees and teach them classes that are inane. And they're not prepared even for a job. They should start apprenticing at grade nine, whether they're going to do a trade or go to university. And they should have a trajectory toward where their apprenticeship will give them skill sets along with their education to actually take over and invent new industry. Because 90% of the new jobs 10 years from now have not even been invented yet.
That's something that Safe States is trying to invent. It's a new industry.
Think of my inspirations I gave you today.
Save us all.
Well, give my inspirations.
As soon as the public becomes aware, there's vast opportunity for us to help each other.
What we have this video today will be up and it'll be all over the place. What you need to do is take the idea of also taking that name and making it yours as well, Faith State Project, and have a 12-step. Infoholic program, like for the alcoholics, because what we have, what we have is people who aren't even going to accept common sense and logic. Like, did you realize your car could be hit by an EMP weapon, or it could be knocked out by an FBI or a police person or a state trooper, could knock your car out? Are you aware that if an EMP happens, you're on the freeway, you're not driving anywhere, you're going to die on the freeway?
You're stuck on your feet.
Do you realize that your grocery stores aren't going to happen, the gas pumps are going to happen, your cell phone doesn't work anymore, the dog's barking, the refrigerator's dying, the food is rotting, your wife is screaming, it's getting cold because you're in a northern state, you're dying of hypothermia, the water's being turned off because the sewage is backing up in your kitchen sink and so on, and you're screaming because the politicians didn't protect you.
That's correct. It's unimaginable. And that's the scenario of Safe State. So just real quick before we finish, I want you to think about this, because this is the crux of the storyline.
Right.
If this miraculous awareness occurred and half the population in America united, had belief in itself, faith in it, in its purpose, and defended its communities, what would it be like? Now we've got half of America defended, half undefended. The collision will occur, an attack will occur, whether it's a solar event, Carrington-level event, or an EMP. It will occur. So now you've got half of America defended, half undefended. Can you imagine the unimaginable scenario and what it would be like for all the good people who are trapped in the undefended states, and for all the good people in the defended states who want to help the trapped people in the undefended states? That is the scenario of the book, and it allows the reader to go down that rabbit hole to see the true horror of what evil does, and how, you know, just being a survivalist on your own, defending your family on your own, in an undefended area, are going to lose.
Don, let me give you a story.
You may be able to extend the inevitable.
Because I'm sick.
People will unite, and they'll destroy you.
Don,
everybody needs to have their own organization, their own community to back them.
Exactly, local community. Exactly. Now, Don, one of the comments that I want to insert here just before we close is I'm old enough at 68. I took care of people that actually fought in World War II, and even people I took care of that were retired and fought World War I. All right? And Korea.
Uh-huh.
And what I discovered is that there's a lot more public horror in places, even when there wasn't a battlefield, where in Denmark and other countries, they ate their pets first when they're starving to death, then they ate their kids that were on being grabbed off the street, and eventually ate their own children and neighbors.
Yes. Yeah.
And the same thing happened in China, and they called them long pig. Have you ever heard of long pig?
Yes. Yes.
Long pig is humans that are roasted and eaten, okay? People have to understand the thing that happened in Utah. Remember that the Donner Party that got stuck up in the mountains and they had to eat each other to survive? That'll be like a garden party compared to how bad it'll be when things happen.
People in the Donner Party, they wouldn't have gone out and in the, you know, in the EMP scenario, and killed their neighbor to steal his food.
Right.
You know, they wouldn't have done that. But the evil in our world will.
Oh, yeah.
You know, good and evil play on the battlefield.
One of the last shows they had on Preppers a few years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, and I couldn't believe it. I actually contacted them over it. They had a prepper show where they're teaching the preppers, don't worry about trying to support the supplies of food and everything else. Find out where the preppers are and attack them. This is actually in the show, believe it or not.
I said,
you people are nuts. You're proposing violence from people that have prepared by attacking their homes, by roving gangs of maniacs that want to have gangs of ravenous maniacs with lots of guns to storm in, kill people, and steal all their supplies.
Yep.
That's
what happens in the novel. That's what happens in the novel. And I'm going to send you a copy so you can read it.
Yeah, I appreciate that. We should do more shows. I know that I really got into a lot of things, and I talked probably more than I should have, but I get pretty excited about things like this because it's dear to my heart that the population is not prepared, that they have to realize it's not an informational battle alone. It's a spirit battle with the truth. Unless their souls are opened up by prayer and their hearts are opened, they're not going to accept the true wisdom of this and the danger that they have, are they?
No, they're not. And it's both our worst catastrophe and it's our solution. Because once we come to the conclusion, once we go to our core instincts and accept the brutal truth and unite, then we solve our core vulnerability and we become a much different nation. We become the nation that we were built on.
Right. So they could survive the Wild West and everything. Yeah.
And our solution.
Yeah. So your book novelizes this too, though. Your book novelizes those things too. That's really great. I look forward to it. I'll get your book, read it, and we'll have you back on in a few weeks' time, Don. Thank you for coming on the program. We'll get this word out everywhere. It'll be an audio and video everywhere I can get it, okay?
It sounds good. Sounds good, and it was a pleasure talking with you. I enjoyed it.
Well, as I say, there's good and bad talking to Deagle. I can be a little aggravating, but you can understand that I have a good heart. I have a good heart, and I have a superior intellect, and I have the Spirit of the Most High God that fills in the difference.
Well, you let that mind keep going. You just let it keep working
that's a prophetic gift I gave you today from the Most High God. Faith State Project and the 12 steps to overcome being an infoholic. Because that's why people won't smarten up. When I talk to people, I say the most important thing in my show is ask better questions. People are so full of themselves and their own cognitive dissonance, they don't even know how to ask better questions to come out of their state of suicidal ignorance.
Yes. Yes.
Scary.
Well,
yeah.
Let's keep pushing and let's break that wall.
We will.
I'll have to come back and talk to you.
Okay, I'm going to say a little prayer. Dear Lord God, bless Don Trumbull and bless the Safe State Project. And may they also take the name Faith State Project, open people's hearts so they'll accept the truth and the horrors of what's to come if they don't prepare. May the Safe State Project assume also the 12 steps to overcome those who are infoholics and believe that they already are okay, and when they're not okay, and learn to ask questions to come out of their state of false comfort into the truth and prepare and truly become a unified people to survive potential disasters that are not maybe going to come. It's a matter of when they come. Thank you for the blessing of Don Trumbull, enough to ask the truth. And I'm going to say a quick Aaronic blessing over you too, because I'm an Aaronic priest. Baruch atah Adonai Melech Ha'olam. May the Lord God bless you and keep you. May keep all the people that listen, not just with words of information and scary information, but with the truth and wisdom that God is with us. But he only responds if you listen to the messengers of grace. For when you reject our words, the only thing left is judgment. And we are your brothers and sisters, don't want you to suffer judgment, because do not reject the truth, both the informational truth and the spirit truth we've given you. Accept it and realize God is with us, but we must hear and do Shema, his will, or we will die under his judgment. Amen.
Amen.
Take care.
Amen.
God bless.
Excellent prayer, Bill.
Take care. God bless.
Thank you, too.
Take care. God bless.
God bless.
And we're back. We'll be then doing just a quick promo here. We are doing NutriMedical.com, 888-212-8871. We have the latest information on the SARS coronavirus, which is very deadly. Get your first line kits in now. Get your nutraceutical needs in now. Get yourself prepped up and ready. We're going to do many more shows on this because this year is the year, whereas God told me last Monday, the days of Rodney Dangerfield for Dr. Deagle and many of my co-hosts and co-prophets and so on around the world is over. Society is going to change and receive the truth and the spiritual, geopolitical, and medical manna to survive. They will no longer ask us to change. They will change. And our Shockucation program will shock you into the truth. And the Lord God will be with you and save your physical hide, your nation, and your soul from eternal damnation and destruction. Thank you for listening. Take care and God bless.